Past week we are filled with tragedies, you know, with the hurricane, and this next Sunday, of course, will be September 11th, which is the fourth anniversary of the tragedy we had to endure 4 years ago. And so if you have any kind of heart, hopefully, this past week has been hard for you to watch all the things that have happened. You know, I was in Kenner, Louisiana, at a parish with Bishop Carmen, who's the auxiliary bishop down there, and I did a parish mission for them in March. And then I spoke at two different high schools down in the area. And about 3 years ago, I was in Gulfport, Mississippi, and I spoke at a parish there to a bunch of high school kids. And it's really hard to sit there and think that these places are gone or people are killed and they're not there anymore. You know, and so when you're confronted with this kind of stuff, you know, what is our response? Well, first we look at Jesus, and what was Jesus' response, huh? When you look at him, and yesterday we had a funeral here, and we read from John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus. Now, here's the God of the universe, who knew he was going to bring life out of the situation, who knew that it was going to end for the glory of God. And yet, when he was confronted with the death of his friend, what did he do? He wept. He wept because of the pain, because he had compassion. Then you sit there and Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan. And again, in the story of the Good Samaritan, he tells of the three people, two people walked away because they were busy with other things. Only one went and helped him. And he said, now who is the neighbor? The one who treated him with compassion. So when we're confronted with this reality, God calls us to be people of compassion. Now, how are we to call forth this compassion? How can we be compassionate? Because way too many people have sat here and watched what's going on TV and felt totally helpless. You know, what can I do? There are plenty we can do. And if you listen to the words of the God today through his word, we see what we can do. First, in the first reading, we're talked about how we're called to be the watchmen. Now, the watchman is someone who watches out for the people, has such compassion on them that speaks to the people the word of God. First, speaks warning, and then second, speaks comfort. But the first thing you got to do is speak the truth about God and his gospel. So we might not, you know, and again, you know, it's just now we're starting to feel this reality. What we saw this past week in Gulfport and Louisiana and that happens throughout the world constantly. People die. 34,000 children die every day, statistics are, of no food. And yet now we're looking at this face to face. And we got to sit there and start knowing that no matter what, I'm called to be a person of compassion for the whole world. But what am I called to do here? Well, first, what you and I are called to do is preach the gospel. Preach that in the midst of all the darkness, of all the pain, that we have hope, not in this world, not in money, not in food, but in Christ. Because it's only Christ that will sit there and give these people life who have died. It's only Christ that will give them the strength to make it through all the stuff they got to go through. But that's for all of us, because each of us are called to have this hunger for the lost. Do we prepare people to meet Jesus? Are we people that proclaim the gospel? Because a lot of those people who went to bed one night did not expect to wake up dead the next morning. And yet they did. Many of us who we work with, who we live with, we need to be able to proclaim the gospel of love to people so that when the world ends for them, that they can have peace, that they can face any disaster because they don't do it alone. If you hear the end, we'll jump this in a bit, but the end, the very last line of the gospel, if we're people that pray, we're never alone. There Jesus is in the midst. Now, sometimes we think these things can happen, and why do they happen? But remember, Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. Period. Our Lady at Fatima says, I cannot promise you happiness on earth. And yet so often we cling to this earth and we want everything to be perfect here. This world is not our home. We got to know it. We got to proclaim it. It's only in Christ that we will live forever. It's only Christ where we get strength. And then you listen to the second reading. So first we preach the Word of God and we live the Word of God, but how do we carry that into practice? And if you listen to that second reading from Romans, it's Romans 13, verse 8 and following. And when he sits there and we deal with this verse in Romans, it says, your love, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this is pretty basic. But what we're called to do is that means who is our neighbor? Right now, our neighbor are the people in New Orleans. Now, you and I are called to do something, not do nothing, not just pray for them, because prayer for it doesn't cut it, people. We got to do something. Those who can have already got up there and went down there and are there. Most of us can't go there. But what can we do? Well, our bishop has asked that at all the masses at every church in the Diocese of Erie this weekend, we have a second collection. And the second collection will be taken, and 100% of it will go to Catholic Charities down in that area. So hurricane relief, we already have the stuff in place. Now we can take all that money and put it right to them. So the first thing he does is ask us to have a collection for that. Now, when it comes to that, the way I sit there and ask you to think about what you should give is, what if that was you? What if you were living down in New Orleans? What if it was you that held on to your wife or husband's hand as the water and the storm came up, and you're holding on with all your heart, and you're holding on to your grandson in other ways they had on CNN, they were watching. Then all of a sudden another wave comes up and takes your wife or your husband out of your hand, and now you have no one there except for your grandson, which you hold on to tightly. And then 3 days later you find out your wife is dead. What if that was you in your house, your wife, your husband, your grandchild? What would you want people to do for you? That you no longer have a house, you no longer have a job, you no longer have the bank that you went to. You have nothing. What would you want people to do? One of the things that hit me worse than anything, and it's a stupid thing, but it's, you know, when you have a dog, you know, what happened to those poor animals down there? It shows how this one kid had a little dog named Snowball, and he's holding on to this dog, Snowball, and as he's holding on, of course he was getting on the bus to take him, they wouldn't let the dog go with them. And so the soldier had to take the dog away, and this little kid is screaming, Snowball, Snowball, Snowball. And the kid was so screaming and so upset, he started throwing up. And they had to take and let go of the dog, and whoever knows what happened to the dog. But these little things, these tragedies that happen in these people's lives, and we can sit back and feel bad, but feeling bad ain't going to cut it. We got to do something. And so in the second collection today, and if you can't do it, the second collection, and you go home, you take care of the Salvation Army, you go to the Red Cross, every one of us can do something. And when you ask about what you should do, again, you got to think about it. You know, this past week was Father Nick Sroule's birthday, my classmate, turned 44. I thought he'd be 45 like me, but there you go, 44. And so we all went out to Walnut Creek, four of us for dinner, four priests. Well, the cost, $150. So we split that between three of us, because we're not going to let Father Nick pay, of course. So it cost me $50 for dinner that night. But that's okay. It's for myself. I'm going to dinner. $50. I didn't even think twice about that $50 meal. That fast, it was gone. And yet when it comes to taking care of people who are down there suffering and dying, oh, here, you can have a dollar. Don't you feel good? I gave you a dollar. It's all I can afford. Well, if you go to dinner tonight, how much is it going to cost you? One dinner, your family. How much will that cost you? Well, it's my family. Who's more important, you and your skin, or someone that doesn't have food for tonight? We got to do something. And again, in John's letter, the first letter of John, you know, and again, here's what he says. If someone who has worldly means sees a brother in need and refuses him compassion, how can the love of God remain in him? Children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. So we got to put our money where our faith is. We got to do something. And today we're going to get an opportunity so we can sit there and do something that'll help these people. The third thing we got to do is, if you listen to the gospel, is we got to be people of prayer. I have been saying Divine Mercy Chaplet for these people every day since it happened. Again, they keep saying mercy, mercy, mercy. When we pray for somebody, it's not just doing nothing. We got to pray and take care of people. So when you pray, it's like it's a beautiful day. The sun is everywhere. If you take a magnifying glass, you can take the rays of the sun and focus it on something. Our bishop, after he asked us to take a collection, he also asked for two other things. He says the people of Erie would fast and would pray for the people down in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. That we would fast and pray. Why? Because when we fast and pray, we focus the grace of God through ourselves and we set these people on fire with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That means our prayer can give them courage. Our prayer can give them strength. Our prayer can help their needs when we combine it with when we take care of their needs. The two things we gotta do, we gotta be people that are praying for these people, praying for these people, praying for these people, so that they know they're not alone. And we gotta be people that share the gifts that God has given us. And there's not a person in this parish that's dying of starvation. We're doing quite well. I don't see one person that's dying in here of starvation. Now it's our turn with the gifts that God has given us to share them with our brothers and sisters in need because God asks us to. So we don't have to be impotent people today that sit there and think, what can I do? I can't do nothing. It's down there. We can preach to the people around us and have a yearning for them to come to know the love and presence of God because only Jesus gives us hope in the midst of suffering. We can share from the means that God has blessed us with so abundantly. And we share not frugally, but generously an abundance that God has given us. And then we pray for these people. When we do that, then we are the presence of God on this earth. Then we just don't proclaim that we are followers of Jesus. We live it. And that's the call of the gospel. You got it? Get it? Good. May each of you know his love today and forever. Amen.